He did get a parade. Most people I ever saw turn out in Dade County. I mean, just short notice, and if you wasn't down there, you missed a good time because they did it all for this young man. And I, that's one of those times you're glad to be part of it. You're just glad to be part of it, you know, that to see a community, a county come together like that and work for a common cause. It was good. It was really good. I appreciate it. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see everybody. I don't know. I'm sitting there, and I got memories running back, and I was thinking about how quick things can change. You know, things can change in a hurry when God gets involved. I mean, it can go from one side right to another, and things can be different. All, you know, just bang, and God's made a difference. I was sitting thinking, they singing that Standing on the Promises. That's the song they were singing the day I stepped out in the hallway and said I want to join the church. I'd been saved for a while and hadn't been baptized, wasn't in the body of Christ, and they sang that song one day, and I just stepped off the end of the bench and walked up and said, I want to join the church. And they were singing that, Standing on the Promises. And so they had a baptism coming up. Nelson Tinker, an older man, had been saved and was going to be baptized, and two of Cleve Johnson's kids, children, were going to be baptized, Jeff and Ramona. And never will forget, we went down to Miller Ford, down to the creek for the baptism, and Ramona had talked to her daddy, Cleve Johnson, a friend of mine, and got him to commit to say he'd come to the baptism. You know, Cleve didn't go to church. Cleve, you know, it wasn't his thing, but he was down there the Sunday afternoon that's going to have the baptism. He was down there putting a roof on his house. You know, he was up on the roof. He was nailing on shingles, you know. And about the time for the baptism, Ramona went out there. This is his younger daughter. And she said, Daddy, you said you'd go with me. And he said, oh, I'm busy. She said, Daddy, you said you'd go with me. She is persistent in it. And Cleve had some guys working with him, and he had a deep voice, grumpy. And he said, I reckon I'm going to have to get out and quit and go down here and watch some kids get ducked. You know, just no respect whatsoever. But out of love for his daughter, he got off the roof, and he went down. I never will forget, they was down in the creek, Miller Ford, and Preacher Igo baptizing us. And he baptized the younger ones first, and then he got Nelson Tinker. He was an older guy, so I could kind of help in that situation. Then he baptized me. And I remember coming up out of the water and looking way up on the bank, and there's Cleve Johnson standing up there, seeing his kids get ducked. And the Spirit of the Lord all over. I mean, a grown man, the tears just flying, snot running out of his nose. He didn't care. He come running down the bank, and he laid his head over on Preacher Igo's shoulder. Just laid his head over on him. And they got down and prayed, and he got saved right there. And before the day is over, he got ducked. Now, you think God can't change something? You think God can't bless your effort in what you're trying to do? You're wrong. Just through that one little thing, that one little girl, Ramona was about this big then. Ramona said, Daddy, you told me you'd go. You promised me. And I saw Cleve get saved. Later helped ordain him as a deacon, faithful in church till he died. Amen. All from one little girl and her effort saying, Daddy, you promised me you'd go. Preacher Igo went in the water three times that day. I forget who all it was, but we'd get him out on the bank. He was feeble at that time, and we didn't have any steps down there in that creek. We'd have to lift him up, but we'd get him up on the bank and hear somebody else get saved. He'd be back in the water, and we wore the bank out. Looked like a bunch of elephants been going up and down there trying to get him in and out because it's an older time in his life. And I've thought how many times I have thought about how God blessed him that day to see Cleve, who was so negative and so sarcastic, that God dealt with him and he got it right that day. Amen. So I guess the Lord had me to say that to let you know that if you're standing on the bank and need to be a little closer, there'd be time to get it done. You know, that if it's your turn to get right with God and follow him, whatever it might be, in salvation, maybe in baptism, maybe just to repent and rejoice. I don't know, but God be open for all situations. I want to preach a few verses of Scripture this morning out of the book of St. Matthew, chapter 16, if you'll turn there with me. Matthew chapter 16, I'm going to start in about verse 6. As we go through this, I want you to know and understand, I'm going to bring the points this morning according to the Word of God, that there's no other way except Jesus Christ. That's it. You know, there's no other way. People try to decide, and you know, I know some people, they'll get three or four or five people together that all agree on the same thing, but just because they agree, if it's contrary to the Word of God, it's not right. And we need to always keep that in mind. This Word of God, that's our guide. That's our strength, and that's our what we have to guide us and let us understand to know. Matthew chapter 16, verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven and of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. When Jesus perceived, he said unto them, oh, ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the five loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, neither the seven loaves or the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not of you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven and of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? And so there's a little misunderstanding here. The apostles, they took it. They said, well, we hadn't took any bread. And that's what he's talking about. And he has to go in. You know, they're not the brightest bulbs on the tree, I don't think, all the time. He has to go in and explain. He said, how you do not understand? And so when he talked this in verse 12, then understood they how he bade them not beware of the leaven and of the bread, but the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And so when we start talking about doctrine in this day and time, I'm telling you, I preach the doctrine of Jesus Christ, Son of God, crucified, resurrected, and that'll get you saved. And so now keep this in mind, when he talked to them about this doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were trying to take Jesus out of the equation. They wanted to delete Jesus from the process of salvation. And we know that by the grace of God coming in, then Jesus had a part, he was the sacrifice made. And so these Sadducees and Pharisees trying not to talk about Jesus or take him out. You know, I see a lot of that going on this day and time. You know, there's little groups who get together and they'll call it a church and they'll say, well, we're not going to use Jesus for salvation. We're going to decide something else that'll get us to heaven. Catholics use the Mother Mary. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but guess what? There's no salvation in Mother Mary. There's none. It's in Jesus or it's not. And so when he talked to them about this doctrine, and you know, I'm sure a lot of people have a lot of good intentions, and I see their groups together, and I get reminded every time about Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. It said, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so we have this understanding, just because man thinks it's right, don't make it right. If this Word of God don't back it up, then just trash it. Everybody's got an opinion. A lot of people's got a different idea. But if it don't comply with the Word of God, then I'm going to tell you it's wrong. That's as plain as I know how to preach it. It is absolutely wrong. And so he's telling them, said, beware of this doctrine. And so we have to beware this day and time of the doctrine going all around us. You know, you can get out in this community and you can find people say, well, I think if I live okay and if I do this, if I do that, I'm going to be okay. They've took Jesus out of salvation, and without Jesus, there's no salvation. Y'all know those folks I'm talking about. They'll come out and tell you, oh, I'm better than them people down there at the church. Y'all ain't never heard that one? Or is that just for pastors only? That may be just for pastors' ears. And I hear, I'm better than them old people down there at the church. Let me tell you what, that's a lie straight out of hell. It all smell like smoke. Straight from the devil. They're out there, right. They may live a better life, but they don't have Jesus. And that's what makes us right. Jesus and his work that he did on the cross of Calvary. You can sit here and feel good about yourself this morning if you're saved by the grace of God, to know that you are a fruit of Jesus Christ himself. Purchased on the cross of Calvary. Amen. Acts 4 and verse 12. Neither is there salvation. Now listen to this. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. So how are you going to be saved? It's going to be through Jesus. It's going to be through the work he did on the cross of Calvary. It's going to be the resurrection process. It's going to be at the right hand of the Father forever. But it all comes back to Jesus. So anybody that's trying to tell you you don't need Jesus for salvation, you just let that pass. You just let that go on about your business. Now, there's a danger in this. So many people. You know, if I could come out here and get four or five of us all to agree, we might influence a bunch of people in this church, mightn't we? It could happen. And so that's what we're fighting against, this doctrine that goes around today that takes Christ out of religion, out of salvation. There's no salvation without Christ. I've just read it plain from the Word of God. You can believe Scientology if you want to, but you'll burn in hell. Amen. Some people say, well, you don't need to be that plain. I need to be that plain. Because I might be responsible for your life and your salvation at one time. I might have to give an account to God. Why didn't you tell them? Why didn't you warn them? And so I'm warning you. In verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now he gives a description of himself. And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? First he asked, he said, who do they say I am? Then he said, but whom do ye say that I am? He wanted to know that they knew and understood about Christ Jesus, the Son of God. That's what he's getting at. And so when he asked them the question, you know, I'd put the same question for today. Who do you say Jesus is? You know, there's a lot of people who will tell you about Jesus. They'll say, yeah, I've heard about Jesus. But have you received Jesus in your heart for salvation? That's what it comes down to, knowing Jesus. Loving Jesus, making him Lord and Savior of your life. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm going to guarantee you Peter's made it to heaven. Right there. That's all he needed. You're saying, well, that's the same Peter that denied him. Amen. That's the same Peter that believed him, knew who he was. He's the Son of the living God. He's the Christ. And that's what we have to have in our hearts and minds for salvation. It's not just knowing about Jesus. It's not just knowing about God. It's having him in your heart. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bojana, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And so he starts talking about that Spirit of God revealed. That's what it takes. A conviction of the Spirit of God that you're not right with God. And then that Spirit that will let you believe and understand. God gives everybody enough faith to be saved. And then after that, it said, thus faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You know, Romans 10 and 13. And so after you've had to receive that faith from God that you can believe on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then if you want more faith, get in the word of God. You know, I believe every Christian at some time ought to read this book. I've come to that conclusion that sooner or later, every Christian ought to try, sit down and read this book. This is God's instruction. This is God's guidance for us as Christians. Good reading. Amen. Wouldn't y'all recommend that as reading? I believe every son, daughter of God ought to try it one time. Read the book. Just read the book. St. Luke. Well, I think I'll go to Matthew. Let's stay in Matthew while we're that close. Matthew chapter 20. I want to show you a need and how to handle a need. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 30. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 30. We're going to talk about a need. God's holy word says you have not because you ask not. Everybody agree with that? I'd look it up. I could find the scripture and give you the chapter and verse. But I'll guarantee you, God's word says that. You have not because you ask not. And I think we live such a deprived life sometimes because we hadn't asked God. You know, we just hadn't asked. You know, there's times in life that I'll make a statement and my wife will say, well, what did God say? And I say, well, I didn't ask him because I didn't want to know the answer. You know, because his answer and my answer don't always agree. You know, you done got your heart set, you want to do something, you're scared to ask God because he might say no. Lord, forgive me, I guess I'm the only one here that ever has that problem. God, look down on me. I have that problem. I confess it. Now I ask you to forgive it. Because sometimes we get our heart and mind so set that this is what we're going to do. This is the way we're going to go. That we don't want to pray because God might say, no. You're just as guilty not knowing as if you went ahead after he said no. Because we have that opportunity. Matthew chapter 20, verse 30. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, what will you that I shall do unto you? They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched them, their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. We talk about these blind men sitting, have a great need in life. I'm talking about they've got a great need. So who do they carry it to? They take it to Jesus. They hear Jesus is passing by. Well, we don't have to wait till he passes by. He's present with us all the time through the Holy Ghost of God. Jesus is in this house. So if you've got a need, you've got a want, you've got a desire, I'd suggest cry out to Jesus. Don't worry about the multitude. Don't worry about what anybody's going to say. Just cry out to Jesus. They come, try to get them quiet, said, you need to be quiet. You're disrupting this thing. A cry to Jesus is never a disruption. And here they go. They just kept crying out the more and the more and the more. They didn't let up because they had a need. They probably read that scripture, you have not because you ask not. And they were going to ask for God's help in the situation they faced. I believe God sent that for somebody right here today, that you have not because you ask not. And you've got a problem, and you're afraid what the multitude will think about it. So, oh, by the way, you're going to keep quiet. They didn't keep quiet. Guess what? They was blind that morning, but they could see by evening. And that's what I talk about, how God can change the situation in your life. You may be coming into this thing blinded by some reason or some situation, but God can give you a vision. He can restore that sight. He healed those blind men because they cried out and asked. They had a need. They had a great need. St. Luke chapter 5. Y'all turn with me there. St. Luke chapter 5. We start talking about these things and the great need that we have in this life. I'm telling you, there's a need for peace. There's a need for contentment. There's a need for joy in our Christian lives that we radiate and tell the world about a great God. In St. Luke chapter 5, verse 1, and it came to pass as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were going out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and talked to people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon, answering, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, he enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Now, I believe that I'm here preaching salvation by the grace of God through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in no other way. And I believe God has just given this scripture to somebody to let you know that he's going to let the net down one more time. You know, you might have been here before and you've rejected Christ or you've refused or you've done your own thing without asking God. I'm telling you, that Spirit of God is here to convict you of your sin that you might become a Christian. I'm talking about born again. Now, I'll tell you a little prophet about a thing about that, how to be profitable to you. You know, in Job chapter 14, verse 2, it said, man born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And so you've got a sentence. If you're not saved by God's grace, you've got a sentence of trouble and a few days. That's what you're going to get out of this world. But then I got thinking about, you could be born again into the family of God and no longer receive a sentence from that natural birth, but you can receive the promise of God for the spiritual birth. And His promise is peace and safety and joy and happiness. Praise God! You'd rather have a sentence, a few days and full of trouble, or a promise of God? Which one you rather have? Just as Peter said, at your bidding, I'll let the net down again. I believe God just gave an altar call and a proposal for somebody that maybe you've heard the gospel before but refused it. God said, I'll let the net down again. You can have another chance. You can have another opportunity right now. Anytime when God touches you, that's time to come. Don't wait on singing. Don't think you'll disrupt me. You don't disrupt me. At Jesus' call, I'll not be disrupted. I'd be glad to pray with somebody right now that's got that second opportunity, that God's let that net down, and He intends to catch somebody. Let's look, if you will, at Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. You know, I'm closing my eyes expecting when I open them that somebody's going to be up on their feet, ready to move. I think God's sending a message in this church, and I'm going to pray that God's power be so real that you can't resist or you can't overcome it, that you're going to ask His opinion, you're going to ask for His leadership, and He's going to guide you to a place that you're going to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. God, right now, I pray that power and that spirit be on this church, that it be on every heart and every mind, Lord, that You show them that the net's down one more time, that they'll have a privilege and an opportunity once again to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. No matter how many times they may have put it off, or how many times they may have rejected it, or how many times they've just dismissed it, God, I know You're real here today, and You're working with hearts right now. God, just move these people by Your power and Your spirit and Your strength. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together at the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is of them is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John was about to go into the temple and ask alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. So here's a man lame from his mother's womb, never walked a step, that laying down at the temple hoping to receive a little silver and gold, something that he might buy a piece of bread to live through the morrow, got more than he ever expected. You know, that's what I'm preaching about and praying for right now, that somebody came into this church today and they're going to get more than they expected. I'm talking about silver and gold have I none. That's what Peter told him, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And you get more than you ever thought you'd get by coming down to the house of the God. He is down at the temple and the power of God demonstrated. Now if you read farther, you're going to find out, oh, he got up, he danced, he walked, he leaped, he run through the church praising and worshiping God. And so when you come down to the house of God, expect to get more than you thought. Let's get right down to business. Had a time in my life, I used to go to church to please my wife. It just got real, didn't it? Well, it's easier to give up an hour than it was to hear her all week. I mean, way out the odds. What's the odds of it, you know? Either I was going to hear it till about Wednesday, or I was going to go to church with her on Sunday morning. I didn't have to go that night. I didn't even have to go to Sunday school. Just come in and go to church. Praise God, I got more than I expected one day on one of them trips. I was there for the wrong reason, but God allowed that. It got me there. And guess what? He did something unexpected. He melted that heart. He put me in a place that I loved the church. I loved the church. I loved the body of Christ. I loved to hear the word of God preached. I loved the singing. There for the wrong reason? God didn't care. You here for the wrong reason today? God don't care why you're here. You're here. And he'll accept it just that way. This lame man got more than he ever expected. He didn't get any silver or gold. You know, don't come down to church accepting worldly goods, because it'll be spiritual. You know, I don't know that you can take God's spirit and buy a Coca-Cola with it. Don't know it's good. But you can buy peace and happiness and pleasure for a lifetime. You can gain access into heaven by having that Spirit of God. And that's what Peter said, give to you what I have. And that's what God's got today. Let me finish this out in Galatians chapter 1. Y'all turn over with me, Galatians chapter 1. I'm going to close these verses. I'm going to close out these verses, so if you're about to sleep, wake up. Be time to go, and I'd hate somebody to be sitting there still sound asleep and we try to dismiss. If you're left here on the bench, I'll know you slept through it. You know, if I look at our died, it could help me the way. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. And so through belief in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you see, you are delivered from this present evil world. You know, when I sit and watch the world news sometimes through the week, I sit there and feel glad that I'm delivered from it. Amen. I'm delivered from all that argument that they're doing on the TVs and the politics and all that. That I've already been delivered because I've got Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And it said he will deliver us from this present evil world. And so I'm not part of it. I can watch the news and just let it go. It said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you in the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. In other words, there's some that would pervert. They would try to change the gospel of Christ. He said it's not another gospel. It's just somebody that's going to trouble you. Now, we're going to talk about those troublers in a minute and those that believe them. You know, there's some people who believe anything. You know, if you'll shout it long enough and loud enough, they'll believe it. But it goes down, it said, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which you which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. He said, if anybody preaches anything, any gospel other than Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. So not only those that would believe these people that's preaching other than Jesus, but also that person that is preaching it or proclaiming it is accursed. Not my words. This is God's words. So, you know, there might be times that you need to warn somebody. If they're trying to tell you salvation other than Jesus Christ, you need to tell them, you better be careful, you'll be accursed. Now, that won't sit most well with most of them. They'll have an ego problem because they think they're something. You know, I walked up here knowing what I was. I'm nothing, and Christ is everything. That's where it comes to. When you're willing to understand what you are, I'm precious in the eyes of God. And if you're saved by His grace, you're precious also because He loves His children. Let's have a verse of a song. God's given an altar call. He's done give it once. You didn't come. He gave that altar call. Nobody moved. Nothing happened. So I believe He's going to give it again. He's going to let down that net one more time. And I'm praying for a catch. I'm praying God has moved your heart that you need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you need to make a correction in your life, whatever it is, you know. God allows turnarounds, that He can turn you aside, that He's got your attention this morning. Maybe you need to join the church. I don't know what the need is in your life. I can't know, but God knows all about it. Nothing's hid. Y'all stand to your feet and have a verse of song.